ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 20 बलि महाराज सरेंडर्स द यूनिवर्स टेक्स्ट नंबर 34 पदम द्वितीयम् क्रमतस्त्रिविष्टपम् नवैत्रियाया तदियम् अणुऽपि उरुक्रमस्याङ्ग्रिरुपर्युपरि अथो महर्जनाभ्यं तपसः परं गता। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As the Lord took His second step, He covered the heavenly planets, and not even a spot remained for the third step. For the Lord's foot extended higher and higher, beyond Maharlok, Janalok, Tapalok, and even Satyalok. Purport: when the Lord's footstep exceeded the height of all the lokas, including Maharlok, Janalok, Tapalok and Satyalok, His nails certainly pierced the covering of the universe. The universe is covered by the five material elements, Bhumi, Rapo, Nalo, Vayu, Khama. As stated in the Shastra, these elements are in layers, each 10 times thicker than the previous one. Nonetheless, the nails of the Lord pierced through all these layers and made a hole penetrating into the spiritual world. From this hole, the water of the Ganges infiltrated into this material world. And therefore it is said, Padanakha Neera Janita Jana Pavana, Dashavatara Stotra, verse 5. Because the Lord kicked a hole in the covering of the universe, the water of the Ganges came into the material world to deliver all the fallen souls. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 20th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Bali Maharaj Surrenders the Universe. First of all, I would like to take the blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas and the devotees assembled here. Though unqualified to speak on the topic of surrender, but for purification, for my personal purification and in glorification of the Lord, I will try to speak on this particular aspect of surrender to the Lord. So first of all, we'll just try to summarize what has happened so far, and then we will try to understand why there is a need to surrender, because we are all sadhakas, so why there is a need for surrender, the process of surrender in relation to how Bali Maharaj exhibited his surrender to the Supreme Lord. And the third aspect we will try to discuss is about here in this verse, it is said, Urukramasya Angri, that Urukrama means the Lord who performs wonderful, uncommon activities which are glorious. So, we'll try to understand in reference to this particular pastime, what is something uncommon with which the Lord performed here. And also, in some of the incarnations of the Lord, where Lord performs such uncommon activities, which attract the conditioned soul towards Him, so that the conditioned soul surrenders unto Him. So, we'll try to discuss first, we'll try to summarize what has happened so far. As this section is going on for a long time and many of the speakers have given very elaborate lectures on this particular topic. But just to have an idea that here the Bali Maharaj, in spite, he knew that Vamandev is going to cheat him, who is Vishnu himself. But in spite of that, he had decided already that I will give whatever the Lord wants. That is a sign of a person who is 100% surrendered to the Lord. Bali Maharaj represents, out of the 9 steps, the Atma Nivedanam. He is totally surrendered everything to the Supreme Lord, and whatever activities he performed that were only for pleasing him. So that is a sign of full surrender. Prabhupada writes in one of the purport that is a sign of love. So even though Bali Maharaj was instructed by Shukracharya that this small brahmachari boy, Vamandev, he is Vishnu himself, he is going to cheat you, he is going to take anyway everything from him and you will be poverty stricken. But in spite of that, he rejected his spiritual master. Though he didn't reject Shukracharya altogether, but he rejected his order in this connection. Because after Shukracharya instructing him that you don't give anything to the Supreme Lord, Bali Maharaj been totally surrendered to the Lord, he became contemplative, he became silent. Generally, if someone is told that now in next few moments, everything is going to be taken away. So what is the situation of such person? He's in panic. His completely mind has gone for a chaos. But Bali Maharaj became contemplative. He didn't panic. He became contemplative and silent. And he thought, whether I should, what should be done? Whether I should act according to what Shukracharya is saying, or whether I should act independently to please the Lord. So in that contemplation, he first thought that it's to lie is the greatest sin. And to lie to a brahmachari, brahmana, who is brahmana, is the greatest sin. And in this way, he decided that he will reject his spiritual master's instruction. In that contemplation, he also thought that though he may be poverty stricken, but for good reputation, because Bali Maharaj exemplified truthfulness, he decided that though he will be poverty stricken, he will not envy the Lord and he will give whatever the Lord wants. And then Lord Vamandev, we see in few verses, he expanded his body, the small brahmachari boy, expanded into Vishnu form, the universal form, and slowly he took, in two steps he covered everything. And practically the third step was remaining. In the next chapter it will be described that the Lord said, where should I keep my third step? And Bali Maharaj totally surrendered, said, only thing is remaining is my head. So that shows full surrender. So in this particular pastime, that the Lord, as he expanded, Lord Vamandev expanded, just by his touch of his lotus feet, at the covering of the universe, it was pierced, and from that hole the Ganges descended. That is the power of Lord's lotus feet. Touch of the Lord. So that we'll discuss in the uncommon activities of the Lord. So this is just a summary of what has happened so far. So Bali Maharaj, since he exemplifies Atmanivedanam, total surrender to the Supreme Lord, we'll try to understand what surrender means. In one of our lectures, one devotee was saying, which has been rightly confirmed in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, that surrender is not something artificial imposition. Generally, people think to surrender means to become a slave. And to become a slave or to become a servant in material world is considered very lowly. To become a servant is considered very lowly in material world. But that's the opposite. Is to become a servant of the Lord, that is the greatest thing. That is the highest perfection of human form of life, to realize our constitutional position. So surrender means to be reinstated in our constitutional position. The constitutional position of the soul or the living entity is to be a servant. But since time immemorial, he has ventured to, for sense gratification, separate from the Lord, and therefore he is put into this material world where he is trying to enjoy through his mind, senses, intelligence, and he is put into suffering of the cycle of birth, of old, disease, decay and death. So this has been going on because the living entity is in the external, is in the influence of the external energy of the Lord. The same living entity can be liberated from this bondage if he reinstates himself into the internal energy of the Lord. by surrendering. And therefore, that is the way he can become happy. But while he is in the under the influence of the external energy of the Lord, where he is trying to fulfill his desires, and desires are creating one body after another, and once you get a body, that itself is an illusion. Whenever one accepts one is this body, that is the greatest illusion. So one has to get out of this illusion. And when one gets out of that illusion, then only he can surrender. And how one can get out of that illusion is by surrendering to the Supreme Lord, or surrendering to the Supreme Lord's representative in form of spiritual master and his instructions, and following in their footsteps. So therefore, Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna consciousness means in acting according to the Lord's desire, what Krishna desires. Because the Lord is the supreme friend, he is the supreme enjoyer, but the living entity thinks that he is the enjoyer. So there is a slight shift in the consciousness. Surrender means just a slight shift in our consciousness, that from I consciousness to Krishna consciousness. Just a slight shift, that I am not the enjoyer, I am not the proprietor, but I am servant of the Lord. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says there are four things one can surrender: his life, his words, his wealth and intelligence. Any of these, according to our capacity. But Vali Maharaj exemplified all. He surrendered totally everything to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he presents Atma Nivedan, total surrender to the Lord. So therefore, this principle of surrender is not something artificial, but it's very natural. It's not something artificial imposition, but it's very natural thing. And therefore, Lord says, Sarva dharmam parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja, aham tam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami mam asyucha. So Krishna is saying, mam ekam. It's an exclusive. Not you surrender to anyone. He's saying, mam ekam, to me. And they, without hesitation, do not fear, do not worry. Don't hesitate to surrender. And what is the result of such surrender? Krishna says that I will protect you from all sins. So that is what actually surrender means. And the process of surrender is very nicely explained in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, after explaining the banyan tree, which is the perverted reflection of the spiritual world. The very nice shloka: Nirmana moha jitasanga dosha adhyatma nitya vinimrutta kama dvandve rimukta sukha dukkha samner gacchanti amuda padam avyam tat. Those who are free from false prestige, illusion and false association, who understand the eternal, who are done with material lust, who are freed from dualities of happiness and distress, and who are unbewildered, know how to surrender unto the Supreme Lord and attain to that eternal kingdom. So the first qualification to surrender is that one should not be deluded by pride, false prestige. Because by one who is with false prestige or pride is been puffed up thinking that he is the Lord of everything he serves. And therefore it becomes very difficult to surrender. And therefore one has to know by cultivation of real knowledge that he is not Lord of the material nature. So this knowledge comes in association of devotees. Otherwise we cannot understand. So what happens when one comes in association, he gets real knowledge. He comes to know that he is not the Lord. He is the servant. The first lesson when we come, that we have to become servant. It's very shocking sometimes for newcomers. At least I was shocked when we have to become servant of the Lord. So it's something very artificial for the conditioned soul. So what happens when one gets knowledge? He is free from the delusion, which is caused because of pride. And then he begins the process of surrender. And then that purport Prabhupada says, who cannot surrender? For one who is always expecting some honor in this material world, it is not possible to surrender unto the Supreme Lord. So pride causes illusion. And because of illusion, the things are complicated. Otherwise, life is so simple. Prabhupada says, one can become Krishna consciousness in few seconds. or one may take millions of lives. So our whole complicated life is complicated because we have forgotten our real position to be servant of the Lord, and we are trying to master the material nature, which is not possible. Therefore the life is complicated, and therefore we are always in trouble, and the whole world is revolving under this, the central principle of you are the enjoyer. Some people say you can win, but you can fail also. So people don't know this principle, that surrendering to the Supreme Lord is the highest perfection of religion. And therefore people are in the illusion that I am the enjoyer. And therefore in that particular purport, Prabhupada says that the solution to overcome illusion is one has to get out of this false notion that human society is the proprietor of the world. So Bali Maharaj also, in this particular pastime, Bali Maharaj also knew that everything is belongs to the Lord. Nothing is mine. And he was convinced that anyway, everything will be taken away. All these material possessions are temporary, and they will be anyway taken away at the time of death. So better to give it to Lord Vamandev as in charity. So all these faulty associations bind us to the material world. This faulty association of familial affection, society, and the national affections, Prabhupada says in the purport. Actually, they bind a conditioned soul to the material world. And therefore, after this stage, one has to develop the spiritual knowledge that understand the eternal. So Bali Maharaj, actually, we will discuss in the last part of our discussion. Bali Maharaj, actually, he embarked on the civilization of the soul. Prabhupada writes in the second canto. And he sacrificed everything what was temporary for the eternal. So here in this particular translation, Prabhupada says that one who has understood, one who can understand the eternal, he can surrender. So Bali Maharaj, he understood what is eternal and what is temporary. And he surrendered everything. So one has to cultivate that knowledge that what is actually truth and what is temporary. And result of knowing that he is free from all dual conceptions as happiness and distress. And therefore, as a result of this, he remains in a state of unbewilderment. He is never bewildered. And then it is possible for him, for the conditioned soul, to surrender. So this is just what I was reading the other day from Bhagavad Gita, the process of surrender, which I thought that I would share with all of you. So another aspect I heard in one of the lectures by our senior Vaishnav, he was explaining about Lord Chaitanya's teaching to Sanatan Goswami, in which the process of surrender implies six things. He was telling very nicely, Prabhuji has explained. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam rakshishyatiti vishwaso goptirutve varnam tatha atmanikshepa karpanye shadvidha sharanagati. So in this particular pastime of Bali Maharaj, we can see how Bali Maharaj followed these six things. We can understand. First aspect of surrender, anukulyasya. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai. First aspect is anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. So here we have to understand that anukulyasya. Anukulyasya means favorable. But favorable to what? That which is favorable to execute devotional service, one should accept. And that which is unfavorable to devotional service, one should reject. But it's not just sankalpa. Anukulyasya sankalpa. Sankalpa means to accept. But not just accept. We accept so many things and we reject. But here, anukulyasya sankalpa. Sankalpa means accepting things in a favorable way. And one should be determined to accept it. And rejecting things in a determined way. Because it is going to hamper the process of devotional service. So one should be determined. So Bali Maharaj, in this pastime, Bali Maharaj was determined to give everything to the Lord. And therefore he rejected his spiritual master's instruction. In one of the purports, Prabhupada writes that Shukracharya had deviated from the duty of a spiritual master. The duty of a spiritual master is to educate his disciple in loving God, loving Krishna. But Shukracharya, being a Smartha Brahman, he was after his own material profit. He was instructing Shukracharya that you don't give anything to Lord Vishnu. So in one sense, he was not a, therefore Prabhupada writes, he was a so-called guru. And therefore, understanding this, Bali Maharaj rejected him. Because Bali Maharaj is determined to give everything to the Supreme Lord. And even though Bali Maharaj thought he will be already stricken, because he had totally surrendered, he thought that it's better to give everything to the Lord rather than keeping it for our own self. So here, Prabhupada writes in one of the purports that a devotee is determined to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead to his full satisfaction. Anything that hampers such determination should certainly be rejected. This is the principle of bhakti. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. And Bali Maharaj had the opportunity to contribute everything he possessed to the lotus feet of Lord Vamandev. But Shukracharya was putting forward a material argument to hamper the process of devotional service. Under these circumstances, Bali Maharaj decided that such hindrances would be avoided and rejected, and he rejected the advice of Shukracharya and gave all positions to Lord Vamandev. So Shukracharya, in one of the Shukracharya became contemplative, which we discussed. That means that Shukracharya was patient. He had patience to take a decision. And patience, in one of the lecture I heard, the patience is a sign of surrender. So Bali Maharaj had that patience, and therefore he could come to a right conclusion. Then the third aspect of, third thing implies is Rakshishyati Vishwaso. So Prabhupada, in one of the purports, he says that because Bali Maharaj was being properly educated by his grandfather Prahlad Maharaj, he was never misguided by anyone, even by his so-called spiritual master. This is sign of full surrender. Marabi Rakhabi Yo Ichha Tumar. So whether when surrenders to Lord Vishnu, whether Lord protects or not, he should be worshipped in all circumstances. So Bali Maharaj had full faith that Lord is anyway going to protect me. So there are two examples, very nice examples about this protection, that Rakshishyati Vishwaso, firm faith that the Lord can protect, and firm faith that the Lord will protect. There is a slight difference. First example, the firm faith that Lord can protect is of Draupadi. When she was disrobed in the assembly, first she was trying to take help from her husbands, Pandavas, then Dronacharya, Bhishma Dev, and then ultimately she was trying on her own. But ultimately she called out the names of Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna came in the form of cloth, unlimited cloth. So she had faith that Krishna will protect. And Krishna will protect is the example of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, so many times he was put into difficult situations by Hiranyakashipu, but he never asked the Lord that please protect me, because he knew that Krishna will protect. Similarly, Bali Maharaj knew that it's better to be in favor of the Lord and surrender everything to the Lord. Rakshishyadi Vishwaso. Then Gop Trutve Varanatatha. Firm faith that the Lord is the maintainer. So Bali Maharaj exemplifies Atma Nivedan, surrendering everything to the Lord, acting for the interest of the Lord, acting only for the satisfaction of the Lord. He is considered like a cow. A cow who has been cared by his master does not feel the fear of not being maintained. The cow which is cared by his master is not after his maintenance, because anyway the cow has firm faith that the master is going to maintain. Atma Nikshepa. And the second, fifth one is that we are not independent. So the cow, the example he gives in the seventh canto, Prabhupada gives, the cow, when it serves the master, there is no question of maintenance. It has already been taken care. And because the cow is serving the Supreme Master, It's fully dependent on the master. There is no need to make a separate endeavor. So this particular aspect that Lord is the maintainer and Lord, we are not independent of the Lord. We have to be dependent on the Lord. So here Bali Maharaj exemplifies these things also. And Karpanya, that is thinking oneself to be very low or humble. So Bali Maharaj's qualities are been given in this particular section, that Bali Maharaj is simple, at the same time non-duplicitous. But at the same time he was magnanimous. Whatever he had, he was ready to give. So simplicity, it is said, simplicity is a hallmark of a devotee. So because he was simple, he was humble, and he was ready to give everything to the Lord. In material world, we are taught that you are great. So Bali Maharaj, being king of all the universes, he was free from false prestige, pride. That means he was really humble. He was simple. And therefore he could took shelter of the Lord. So these are some of the aspects of about the process of surrender, which Bali Maharaj also exhibited. And the last thing which we'll try to discuss is about now, is about the word used in this particular verse is Urukramasya. So in second canto, the meaning of this word Urukrama is very nicely explained. Just read out what Prabhupada says. The word Urukrama means the one whose activities are glorious. Krama means step. This word Urukrama specifically indicates the Lord's incarnation as Vaman, who covered the whole universe by immeasurable steps. Lord Vishnu is powerful and his activities are so glorious that he has created the spiritual world by his internal potency and the material world by his external potency. By his all-pervading features, he is everywhere present as the supreme truth. And in this, and his personal future, he is always present in the transcendental abode of Golok Vrindavan, where he displays his transcendental pastimes in all variegatedness. His activities cannot be compared to anyone else, and therefore the Lord, the word Urukrama is just applicable to him. So Urukrama means that he performs uncommon activities which are glorious, and these activities are very prominent. So we'll try to understand in context with Bali Maharaj's pastime, with Vamandev, and also with the different incarnations of the Lord. We'll try to take some few examples. That what does it mean that the Lord performs uncommon wonderful activities? So I've just divided into six sections, 6 points. What does it mean to be common or uncommon or wonderful activities? Uncommon or wonderful activities means, first thing is, they are beyond our imagination or estimation. We'll take an example for that. Second is, they are performed under extraordinary circumstances. Third is, these activities are themselves instructive. So much can be learned from these activities. And fourth thing is, that Lord performs such common, uncommon, wonderful activities that they become topic of discussion for the pure devotees. That is the whole discussion about the Srimad Bhagavatam is about Lord's pastimes and his devotees. And the fifth aspect is, all his activities, we cannot be, as we discussed, imagination, they are superhuman. And sixth aspect is, when he performs all these activities, it's only to prove his godhood, so that the conditioned soul surrenders. Because unless we don't know how God is great, we cannot surrender. Unless we don't know his qualities, pastimes, how great he is, we cannot surrender. In material world also, in our daily affairs also, we surrender, not surrender we can say, but we listen to someone who knows better than us. At least we are forced to listen. Many times we are forced to listen, though the heart may not want, we are forced to listen. But generally, we listen or we hear from such some person who knows better. So all these pastimes of the Lord performs so that He proves that how He is supreme. So that the conditioned soul knows that how He is insignificant. And he can surrender to the Supreme Lord. So the first thing is beyond imagination or estimation. So second canto, chapter 7, very Prabhupada very nicely explains in all these incarnations. We will just take only two or three examples, because Prabhupada gives elaborate purports for each incarnation. Schedule incarnations having specific functions. So we have taken the example beyond imagination or estimation is of Gajendra. Gajendra, being the king of elephants, was caught in a river by a crocodile. And that fight went for thousands of years. And Gajendra was trying on his own to save himself. But somehow or the other, he was in a miserable situation. And at the last time, when he was fighting so hard that he knew that now he is not going to be saved, he took one lotus in his trunk and offered it to Lord, saying, "O original enjoyer, Lord of the universe, O deliverer, as famous as a place of pilgrimage, all are purified simply by hearing your holy name, which is worthy to be chanted." So he just offered a beautiful prayer to the Lord that, "Please protect me." And Lord, situated in Vaikuntha, heard that this king of elephants is in distress. Immediately Lord got back on the king of birds, Garuda, and came, and with his disc chakra, he killed his crocodile. And of course, liberated the crocodile. So in this particular pastime, Prabhupada writes in that purport that the Lord resides in the Vaikuntha planet. No one knows or no one can estimate how far Vaikuntha planet is. One may try there to go by an airship or mind ship. Prabhupada writes, "Modern scientists have invented airships which are material, and the yogis make a still finer material attempt to travel by mind ship. But neither airship and mind ship can have access to the kingdom of God, because it is beyond the material sky." So in such situation, how is it possible that the prayers of elephant Gajendra can be heard by the Lord, which is such an unlimited distance? And how could the Lord appear at once to save Gajendra? So Prabhupada writes that these things cannot be calculated by human imagination. This is possible only by the unlimited power of the Lord. Apremeya, unlimitedly powerful Lord. He can do anything, and his potencies which are beyond our estimation. Even the best human brains cannot estimate his powers and his potencies. So Lord can hear from a distance. Just by offering prayer here, the Lord can hear, and he came. Just like Angani Asya Sakalendra Uttamanti, we sing in Brahma Samhita, that all his limbs are potent and they can function, they can perform the function of any other organ. Just like we offer food, so Lord doesn't eat, but he just glances. So Lord can eat through his eyes. So that is the inconceivable potency of the Lord. Such is the omnipotence of the Lord. So in this particular example, we can see that just by offering prayers to a Lord who is situated to such a distant place, the Lord came and saved Gajendra. So such pastimes are uncommon, or they are wonderful. Adbhut. They are wonderful and they are sumangalam. They are all auspicious. Just by hearing these pastimes with faith, one can develop that devotion to the Supreme Lord. The another aspect of Lord's activities is they are performed under extraordinary circumstances. So Prabhupada explains about Varahadev. Prabhupada writes, "Only under circum conditions do the planets float as weightless balls in the air. And as soon as these conditions are disturbed, the planets may fall down into Garbhodak ocean." A similar disturbance was created by the demons. The first demon is Hiranyaksha and the first demigod is Brahma. So there was disturbance between these two, and therefore Hiranyaksha disturbance created by Hiranyaksha, the earth was detached and it fell into the Garbhodaya ocean. And there Varadeva came in a form of a boar, because to lift something, the Lord accepted the form of a boar with his beautiful snout, nose, and he lifted the earth. So this is something inconceivable for a human brain, because our whole education is, we are trained that how can it be possible? How such things are possible? But everything is possible for the Supreme Lord. So such is the symptom of the incarnation of the Lord. It's not that the incarnation of the Lord is not just an idea from some fertile brain after some imagination. No. Such wonderful acts, uncommon acts under extraordinary circumstances prove that He is the Supreme Lord. Third aspect which we will discuss is about the Bali Maharaj pastime. They are instructive. Uncommon activities, Urukramas, uncommon activities are glorious. So in this particular pastime, the Lord Vamandev, he simply asked, because without begging, no authority can take one's rightful position. Why did the Lord ask? Why did the Lord beg? Because Bali Maharaj had possessed everything. He had conquered all the planets of the universe by rightful possession. He had defeated the demigods and he had got by rightful possession. But at the same time, he was charitably disposed. So Lord pretended that to be a beggar in a form of a brahmachari, and he came and he asked for the three steps of land. So Bali Maharaj, being surrendered, he decided that he should give everything in spite of his spiritual master's intervention. He said that I will give everything, whatever the Lord asks. So in the other words, Prabhupada writes in the purport, when the Lord snatches away something from a devotee, his material possessions, money, and favors one with his transcendent service for eternal life of bliss, knowledge, such taking away should be considered a special favor unto the pure devotee. Because the Lord became his companion, his doorman in the Sutal planet. He was given a kingdom. So here, Prabhupada writes in the purport, is Bali Maharaj accepted the civilization of the soul in exchange for these great material possessions and thus became fit for promotion to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven, which he achieved by dint of material power, was considered most insignificant in comparison to the kingdom of God. So he accepted the civilization of the soul. That's what we discussed. He believed in the eternal. Because he knew that whatever material possessions are there, anyway they are going to be taken away. Prabhupada very nicely explains, 1.5 page purport, Prabhupada writes that these material possessions actually create false prestige. So whether if one wants to advance spiritually, one should have less, or one should, if he has, it should be used in the service of the Lord. Better to engage them in the service of the Lord. One is illusioned by such possessions, and one should have less or nothing so that one may be free from artificial prestige. Prabhupada writes, we are contaminated by three modes of material nature. So when one advances spiritually in exchange of material possessions, the more is freed from attachment of material illusion. And to achieve this stage, one should be firmly convinced about the spiritual existence and its permanent effects. So Bali Maharaj was quite aware of all these things, that this is all temporary, it's going to be snatched by time. Time is the destroyer. At death at least it will be taken away. So to know actually the permanency of spiritual existence, one must voluntarily practice possessing less or only the minimum to maintain one's material existence without difficulty. Prabhupada writes, artificial needs of the life are activities of the senses. So whole civilization is based on sense gratification. civilization. This is a civilization of bodily concept of life. Body and the senses. Nothing beyond. Because everything is geared to satisfy the body and the senses. But beyond the senses is the mind. Beyond the mind is intelligence, as Bhagavad Gita states. And beyond that is the soul. So Bhagavad Gita primarily deals with the intelligence of the man, leading one to the civilization of soul. But Srimad Bhagavat, Prabhupada writes in that purport, is the complete human civilization, dealing with the subject matter of the soul proper. And as soon as one raises one to this platform of civilization of soul, one can enter into the kingdom of God. Therefore, the Prabhupada ends this purport by saying, those who have attained these material comforts for sense gratification should try to attain the eternal kingdom of God by following in footsteps of Bali Maharaj, who accepted the civilization of the soul by adopting the process of Bhakti Yoga, as recommended in Bhagavad Gita or further explained in Srimad Bhagavat. So these are the some of the points about instructive lessons from Bali Maharaj pastime. So Bali Maharaj pastime exemplifies that even if we give something to the Lord, we are never the loser. It's always a plus. Just like the fruit vendor when came to Krishna and Krishna asked for the fruits. So she gave everything. She was attracted by the beauty of the baby Krishna and she gave everything. And when she saw in her basket, it was full with jewels and diamonds. So anything expended in the Lord's service is never a waste. We hold back many times whether I should give or not. If it is donation, whether I should give or not, whether it's really worth giving. But we should try to give and then we'll get realization whether the Lord protects or not. But the act itself is so hesitating that many times you don't do what is needed. So once we do it, then we will get realization. So Bali Maharaj exemplified by giving everything. He was confident that Lord is going to protect. He's going to maintain. And Lord became his doorman. And he gave him the Sutal planet to rule. So such is the glory of the Lord. And such pastimes of the Lord, they are recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam. They are discussion, subject matter for discussion of the pure devotees. Because they are uncommon, wonderful, auspicious, sumangalam, they are recorded in Srimad Bhagavat. No other activities are recorded. Not activities of an ordinary person are recorded in Srimad Bhagavat. Activities of the Lord with his devotees are recorded in Srimad Bhagavat. Because they are uncommon, wonderful, and they are all auspicious. Just by hearing, all auspiciousness is created. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu. So nityam bhagavatasya. Regularly hearing, all what is this abhadra in the heart will go. Inauspicious things will disappear just by hearing. So this forms the topic for discussion. Then such activities of the Lord, because they are superhuman. Another aspect of these activities, they are superhuman. And there we can go on speaking on these particular activities of the Lord, like so many examples, like Lord delivering Nalakaware and Manigriv. How can a small baby Krishna, can uproot such gigantic Arjuna trees? Superhuman acts, which is beyond imagination. How can the Lord, just by closing his eyes, extinguish the forest fire by swallowing? The whole Krishna book is something very superhuman acts. It's a book of adventure. If someone wants to read adventure, then he should read these acts. Because people like to read adventurous novels, romance, fiction, everything is there in one Krishna book. All in one. So one should try to read such superhuman acts. And what is the benefit of such hearing such superhuman acts, going through the superhuman acts? Janma karma cha me divyam evam yote tatvata tvaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti swarjuna. Just by trying to understand these superhuman acts, one can get rid of the cycle of birth, old age, disease, death. That is the glory of hearing or understanding the Lord's activities. And all these activities, if we read the Krishna book, we will come to the understanding, it proves that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada writes in the second canto that we have to understand not only just Krishna's pastimes, because Krishna performs pastimes with his different energies. So his pastime of creation, maintenance, that has also to be heard, not the 10th canto. So first one has to hear the 9 cantos about the Lord's pastimes, how he creates, how he maintains, and how everything is annihilated. So this is also pastime of the Lord. But people are inclined directly to the 10th canto. So one should not directly jump to the 10th canto, but grow gradually from 1st to 9th and then the 10th canto. Because at the end of 9th canto, Prabhupada says that one will be convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And then he can understand his activities. Till then, the book will be just an adventure book, or it will be some mythological book for a person. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam has to be read right from the 1st till 9th and then the 10th canto. So like that. So all these activities prove his godhood. So now the question comes that it's really difficult to understand these uncommon activities. What we say. General people will feel like, is it just a storytelling class that we are telling some stories to small children that Gajendra prayed and the Lord came, or just swallowing of forest fire by Krishna. It's just like we are telling some small boy, small kid, some stories. But it's not like that. Brahmaji is telling Narad Muni in the 2nd canto that how one can understand the Lord's uncommon and wonderful activities. He says, first thing is, no one can estimate, no one can understand the Supreme Lord. No one can estimate the qualities of the Lord. Neither I nor all the sages born before you know fully the omnipotent Lord. So what can others who are born after us know about him? Even the first incarnation of the Lord, Shesha, Ananta Shesh, has not been able to reach the limit of such knowledge. Although he is describing the qualities of the Lord with 1,100 faces. So it's very difficult. No one can understand. But then, as progressively, Lord Brahmaji is instructing Narad Muni, he says that by surrender to the Supreme Lord, by surrendering to the Supreme Lord through the media of spiritual master, pure devotee of the Lord, and following in footsteps, one can understand the Lord. Result of surrender is knowledge about the Lord. Tadvidhi praniprateena pariprasnana sevaya. So first one has to accept a spiritual master and make submissive inquiries, serve him and make submissive inquiries. So surrender to the Lord and his representative, that will give knowledge. And that knowledge which will help one to overcome the illusion. Unless one doesn't overcome the illusion, he cannot understand. So to overcome the illusion, one has to submit to the Lord and his devotee. So in one verse, it is said, anyone who is specifically favored by Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, due to unalloyed surrender unto the service of the Lord, can overcome the insurmountable ocean of illusion and can understand the Lord. And not a person who is in a bodily conception of life. One cannot understand this knowledge, one who considers that he is his body. One has to understand the eternal. And therefore it is said, the unalloyed devotees of the Lord know the glories of the Lord. Of course, in one sense it is said that Lord cannot be understood. But the devotees understand the Lord in the sense, in the context, that they can understand how Lord is great. And how great is his expansion. That is, in that context one can know. Otherwise it's very difficult to know the Lord and his pastimes. But how they are great, that is, in that sense we can understand the Lord's pastimes. And those who are in the bodily conception of life, they can never enter into the realm of kingdom of God. So therefore, Brahmaji is explaining to Narad Muni that such activities have to be described. Mayam varna yato amusha ishvarasya anumodata shrunvatam shraddhaya nityam mayayatma namuyati. The Lord's activities in association with his different energies should be described, varnan, they should be appreciated. Jai Radha Gopinath Bhagavan. First, they should be described, they should be appreciated, anumodata, and heard in accordance with the teachings of the Supreme Lord. And to hear, two things are needed. One is devotion, faith. And second is regularly hearing. So if this is done regularly, nityam, and with devotion and faith, shraddha, and respect, one is sure to get out of the illusionary energy of the Lord. So that's the glory of the Lord's activities. So to conclude what we discussed today, we saw why there is a need for surrender, because that is the constitutional nature of the supreme, of the conditioned soul, that he is servant of the Lord. He is minute, he is Anu, and Lord is Vibhu. And what is the process of surrender, which has been given in the Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter, and which Lord Chaitanya explained to Sanatan Goswami, the six aspects of surrender. And then we discussed about Urukrama, the Lord, Vamandev, his uncommon activities about Lord Vamandev is that he actually gave, he took away everything, but he gave everything to the, he gave himself to Bali Maharaj. He became his doorman. And the second aspect of this pastime is by touch of the Lord, just by touch of the Lord's lotus feet to the universal cover, there was whole was created and Ganges descended to purify the all living entities. So this is something uncommon. So these are the uncommon activities, and we saw some of the uncommon activities that is, they are beyond imagination, the example of Gajendra. Then we saw that the Lord performs under extraordinary circumstances, that is the example of Lord Varahadev. Then they are instructive. This Bali Maharaj pastime instructs us that one should not hold back, but rather give everything to the Lord. Atma Nivedanam. Surrendering everything to the Lord in order to please the Lord. And then we saw the the Lord's superhuman activities, which prove his supreme Godhead. So therefore, we have to follow, because Bali Maharaj is in one of the Mahajans. So we follow in footsteps of Bali Maharaj, surrendering everything to the Supreme Lord. And Lord Chaitanya says, to surrender, to chant the holy name of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, to name the chant the holy name of the Lord, is to surrender our speaking, surrender our hearing, and surrendering our mind in the yajna of the holy name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. So we'll stop here. Hare Krishna. So today is Ekadashi. So everybody has to chant. And some devotees are already scheduled for Kirtan. So that is actually...